You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Two Chunks and a Hunk. Movie musings for mostly everybody.
Welcome to Two Chunks and a Hunk. My name is Jordan Wonders, and this week I'm your hunk.
I'm Doge, and well, I'm a hunk, so don't be telling me about rainbows.
And I'm Carter, and just because you know everything doesn't mean you know anything about Chunk Skitball.
Chunk Skitball?
Hunk Skitball.
Hey, I'm a hunk. We're all the hunk. Let's tell them why. Because the day this episode comes out, it's Tuesday, November 3rd.
Super Tuesday! Is that what Super Tuesday is?
I don't think so.
No.
Duper Tuesday!
I'll take that. And it's Tuesday at the Megadome, the showdown. We, all three of us, have participated in our civic duty to vote with our civic booty for the next president of the United States.
Nice, it's duty.
And it just fills
among
me
other
up.
Things, among other very important
sure,
things.
Sure, yes.
That's
among,
true.
There were other votes. I panicked, by the way, in the polling booth. I just wasn't thinking. And when the very first vote was president, I was like, oh, it's so fast.
I wasn't ready.
I thought I was ready.
Oh, I'm undecided. Are you kidding me? Who's undecided right now?
At this point, undecided is not real. Look, it fills me with, I just can't, the only thing that I have to.
This land is your land.
Sing it, Carl. We have to do it.
This land is my land. From California. To the New York Islands, from the Redwood Forest, to the Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. When I was walking.
If somehow you're still listening, know that that was raw. That was unedited, unfiltered, unpasteurized. We didn't line that up in post.
It was so creepy on Zoom. dissonant, and it's like the beginning of The Purge 5 or something.
And it's like the trailer singing for that at the funeral for America.
It did feel a little bit like a funeral dirge.
This was America.
It's so funny because I did sort of end up being the tempo leader here, and I made the executive last minute decision to just really slow it down so we could feel
The patriotism.
Isn't it wild that you don't notice? I don't notice the delay as much like when we're talking. Like it still feels like a normal conversation.
Right.
But the second we try to do something lined up, it feels like I'm on a different planet than you guys.
Yeah, it was like this lamb, lamb,
yo, lamb.
It was very strange.
Ooh, woof.
But not to get too political, but if you're listening to this episode in the morning, you still have time.
Go do it. Please. Wear a mask while you do it, but go
That's
do it.
Political.
Put on a mask and go vote. Please. Please go do it. And
this is how it begins.
My Google Home was taking over. Look, speaking of voting, the second most important vote that you will cast. Stop it. What is happening?
Judgment Day.
Voting. I didn't know if it was like turning on when I said voting.
Hey, I don't think so.
Speaking of voting, the second most important vote that you will cast all year long just happened. And that is the vote for our Disney Channel original movie series, which is named what, Doge?
Did we decide?
It's a series so powerful that a pun couldn't do it justice. That's right. We had you vote and choose your favorite DCOMs, and you failed me. Each and every one of them. And I know that you all, our listeners, have felt my wrath.
It's
after
not
a
each
vote
and every
before.
Not
That's
each
true.
And every one of them.
There,
failed
there
you.
Are several of you.
I voted for it.
That yeah, because you have a brain. Because you have a brain. There, I'm look, normally I'm like, vote however you want. It's we want to do. No. You guys, you listeners, let me down, and most of you did not vote for the greatest Disney Channel original movie. Maybe the greatest movie. Brink. And
we'll make up for it.
Maybe guess the what, greatest guys? Movie. You're prepared to commit that to audio cement and have that live forever.
Yup. And guess what, guys? We're doing it on Patreon. You can't stop Brink.
Mm.
You can't.
You
it's
can't
not even
stop
possible.
The Brink.
So Brink's our Patreon episode. Jordan, what other episodes are part of this very powerful, nameless, ancient series?
Well, this week we're doing one of them, which we'll talk about in a second. Next week, we will be doing Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century. The following week will be Smart House, which feels more and more like a reality every day.
Is that just by your Google trying to take over?
Yeah, and then we will finish with Far and Away, maybe the biggest lead I have seen a movie take in a vote ever.
Nearly double.
High School Musical. I literally cannot wait for that one.
Yeah, that's going to be a blast.
These are all going to be very awesome. But it's today, the first one, the movie is, of course, known as
The Luck of the Irish.
I should have done it in an accent. I don't know why.
And Doge, I would love if you could just shamrock my world.
Synopsis
at the end of this rainbow and every rainbow.
There's one synopsis on IMDb.
It's all we need.
Written by internationally feared hacker group Anonymous. A teenager must battle for a gold charm to keep his family from being controlled by an evil leprechaun.
Leprechaun.
Do we want the synopsis us that y'all
yeah.
did?
Yeah, that's better.
Read the one that we wrote yesterday because it's far more descriptive.
This might not be a bad backup for all of these movies because I don't know how many are going to have synopsis.
A basketball-loving tween discovers his granda and ma are leprechauns. He then must reclaim his magic luck coin with his sports abilities. This was written by one Doge and Jordan.
We cooked that puppy up in-house.
Yeah, that's true. In our very own Two Chunks test kitchen. So you're welcome. Hey, I have seen this movie a bunch of times. This was Carter's first. Doge, you've seen
this
several times.
Maybe my 100th time to see this movie.
Yeah, I've seen this movie a lot of times. I used to, so I feel like now's a good time to talk about this. I was a Disney Channel kid growing up. I watched every DCOM Friday nights when a new one would come out. It was like a thing. Like I would plop down to watch it with like a snack and everything. Like sometimes my family would all watch them together. Like we were we were in. So this series is near and dear to my heart, but we're getting some different perspectives here because Carter did not really grow up, right? I mean, you didn't really watch DCOMs.
I didn't grow up with DCOMs. I didn't have the Disney Channel.
Yeah.
I was like a Nickelodeon PBS kid. That makes Cartoon it Network, tough. That good stuff.
It makes it tough.
So, yeah.
To watch them. I think this is going to be really fun because I've seen every Disney Channel original movie from the very first one all the way until like 2007, I guess. So, most of the ones that were available to vote, I have seen multiple times. So, these are all rewatches for me, and most if not all of these will be first time watches for Carter, which is very fun and a little bit exciting, I think.
I will say, Chelsea, my lovely wife, we had a season that she was like, no, you need to see these. And she had like 10 curated.
So good.
And this was one of them. I've seen the rest of them. This was not one of them. I've seen the rest of them.
And she was up on top of Alley Cat Strike being in our list for votes.
She was a big one.
And that's so fun. I love that.
Alley Cat Strike is the reason that when I was a kid and went bowling, I always crossed my back leg behind my front leg because I thought that's how you bowled.
I still, when I see a 7-10 split, part of me is like, I bet I could try and spin this ball and just sort of push it and let it smack the other one. Yep. I think that would work really well. So, yeah, these movies really, in a strange way, formed a lot of my childhood.
Right? It's like it feels weird to say, these were like as big a deal to me as like
regular movies.
Star Wars.
Yeah. Vacation Bible School.
VBS. Yeah. And these are Hallmark movies for children. I mean, that's what these are.
Yes, absolutely.
Here's what I will say. We are not, I don't feel like as hosts, we are so narrow focused and narrow minded to not try and at least understand the demographic that a certain movie is trying
for
to reach.
For sure.
So even though I am an adult watcher, you know, for all of these movies, I am not going to be ignorant as to what probably would have been the magic of being a child. I won't be able to have that. Maybe I'll be able to give some fun, fresh takes of seeing it as someone whose brain is almost fully developed. But yeah, I'll say from the start, I had a good time with this. This movie was a good time for me.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I think that's the necessary framework to view it through is like, this has to suck in just the right way that it's very fun to watch.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I completely agree.
That, in a way, even though it is hard time stamped, can make a movie like this timeless.
Yeah. Yes. I agree with that completely. And
because I had the feels. I felt ways about, you know, movies that came out around that time. They just weren't DCOMs.
And I think that, so this movie is goofy and it's pretty fun. I would like to start on a downer so that I can personally climb my opinion upwards.
Go for it.
For the rest of this movie. I'm going to start with my super dump because I want to address it off the top, which is I was going to make a lighthearted, like this movie is racist against leprechauns kind of a joke. But however, this movie, it's insensitive towards Irish people in general. For
Certainly.
A good portion of it. But my super dump is the fingers in ears tone deafness of having the main character of this movie be best friends with a young black man and have this movie being about the plight of Irish people.
Dude.
With his best. There is one line that acknowledges it in this whole movie and they brush right past it. He's like, at one point, the grandpa is like, we had to take the terrible jobs nobody else wanted, and we hardly got paid anything. And Russell, his best friend, goes, at least you got paid.
For
and
real?
The movie just blows Dude. Right past it.
Yikes.
If you're conscious enough to put that line in there,
that's what
why
I'm saying.
Did you only give us that line?
That single line is more condemning than silence throughout the
Certainly.
Movie.
Certainly.
Because well, and the movie that single line. Like, shows an awareness that they knew that they were like stepping on a weird boundary and they were like, let's acknowledge it rather than fix it. And to me, I know it's a Disney movie. I know it's goofy. There's literal leprechauns in this movie. I know it. That is still my super dump because in the year 2020 watching it, I cringed.
Yeah.
That's going to be mine too. Oh, my super dump as well, because it paints the movie. Like by the end of it, we get to like, I can't understand who I am without knowing my culture going back thousands of years. Right? Like that's somehow a core part of my identity, and I'm less of a person if I don't understand that.
You know who but else can't do that?
I know. Then yeah. we ignore people who have had that privilege taken away from them by the atrocities of, you know, the 1600s and 1700s.
Dude, yeah. And the grandpa is like, imagine having to step on a boat and wave goodbye sadly. And it's like, imagine getting thrown on one. Like,
yeah, it's just a little
rough. I don't know,
man. And it's that like late Clinton, early Bush view of race where he's right. like, Dad, that was 200 years ago. Racism's dead in America.
Right. Yeah. Well, in the opening monologue of the movie is like everybody's different, but what binds us together is heritage.
We can all trace our culture back 2000. It's like, no,
not really.
So that the line specifically, at least you got paid, is my super dump, because not only is it everything that we've already said, this, it feels like it was delivered to be a laughing moment. So yeah. Not only is it barely touched on, it's even more insensitive in the way that's like, I think in ignorance, some people would initially just be like, that's right. You know, it's just like, oh, like this is not the place. Oof.
Okay, that is not the vibe I got, but now that you're saying it, that line sucks even worse. Like, well, so now that you're saying like, that.
There's three possibilities for that line, right? It's a laugh, it's a throwaway joke, it's an acknowledgement of we're on a pretty rough minefield right now, or it is a dig at grandpa, like, you got money for it, you should just be happy. You know what I mean? Like, it's you can't complain, you earn money.
It's bad and none no matter of those how are good. You spin it.
Yeah.
And just while we're on the subject, Russell's dad at the end, once he wins state, is finally like, I'm proud of you, son.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just brutal. Oh, my goodness. It is just brutal all around. Now, Ryan Merriman, the main character, he plays Kyle Johnson.
Yeah.
He's a twofer in this. He's a double decommer.
Isn't that wild?
And in both movies, this kid is obsessed with basketball.
Yeah. I wonder if he really likes basketball in real life.
I don't know. I just think that's so funny. Like in both movies, Ryan Merriman's character is like, can't get enough of those sweet, sweet hoops.
Well, they referenced Dennis Rodman. Like this was the early 90s. So this is like, not only is basketball at that
Everybody's
time,
got that
like
basketball
the
Jones.
Sport in America, it's Michael Jordan. Like we're the influence that right. he had on just movies in general is pretty incredible. You know, Space Jam is coming out around this time.
Yeah.
Everybody's playing basketball.
Yeah.
That's a great point. But I want to point something out about Kyle. So this movie has a lot of weird inconsistencies with his character. For instance, when we measure his height for the first time, he's 15 years old. But he's playing junior high basketball. So did Kyle fail two grades?
I guess junior high is like 7th and 8th grade, right?
Right.
For me, it was 6, 7, 8. Maybe junior high goes up to 9th grade
and it's the latter half of the year or something.
He's one of those birthdays that's like, he's the older. Like
2 years early.
Yeah. 2 years. It's one of those 2 years early.
He's one of those birthdays that's 2 years early. Yeah.
Maybe they held him back. Tough.
He went to super kindergarten, took a second round. It's always possible. That's why he's so much taller than everybody.
Pre-K
so
and then post-K.
Post-K and then K. That's probably what it was. No, that might be it. But there's also an inconsistency when he is shrinking. Several times they forget to shrink him in his scenes, and he is back to being taller than almost everybody in the shot.
Yeah.
Like, there's one scene where he's talking to Bonnie, and he's at her eyes. Like, the top of his head is at her eyes. The very next scene we cut to, they're walking next to each other. He's towering over Bonnie again.
I have to correct myself. I said early 90s. It wasn't at all. It's 2001 is when this came out. So obviously, basketball is still a big deal.
Still Jordan. I mean, it's post, but still.
To bring up at what feels like a random time to bring that back up is because I looked at 2001 and I was like, didn't we do... And again, this movie had a much bigger budget. But weren't we doing some pretty incredible things with size differential in 2001? The answer is Lord of the Rings.
I had literally the exact thought while I was watching this last night. Like, huh, this is about the same time as
I'm having my. I think the size thing is more egregious with Mom, who at one point is told she's a foot tall. And then I guess the fear is, which I get it. It's like, maybe we don't want to be leprechauns because at some point they disappear into nucleus size. Like, she is a match. They wanted to say that she's as big as a matchbook, which not a foot tall.
Hey, as our one of our resident DCOM experts, there is literally a DCOM about shrinking to the point of disappearing. It's called the poof point.
Mm-hmm.
And so
the poof
maybe they
point?
Just yeah. When you reach the poof, so you de-age.
I thought that's when your metabolism finally slows down.
No, that's the poop point. No, their parents take some sort of a chemical. They're scientists. They become babies, and if they don't fix it, the babies will poof to non-existence. And so, yeah, the poof point. I'm telling you.
See, that kind of thing, DCOMs a little bit feel like a testing ground that Disney's like, let's throw this out and see how it would work in a real movie. Because that feels like what they did in Sky High, right? With the pacifier, the baby gun.
Kinda. Yeah, there's all of these. There's phases. You go.
Sky High wasn't a DCOM though, was it?
No, it was not.
No. That's what I'm saying. I think they test stuff out. This is their test kitchen.
Yes.
Boy, we've been saying test kitchen a lot lately.
We have, but it's funny to think about DCOMs just being where they test out their new flavors before they pull it into the
DCOM
real
blockbusters. DCOM is the beta that they're prepping stuff for the main release.
Right?
But this feels like they didn't quite get the transformation thing the way they wanted, so they tried it again in 13th year, and then maybe that'll manifest in some Disney movie I haven't seen
yet. I think this has to be newer than 13th year.
It was the 13th year first.
I feel like it has to be.
Carter, is that one that you've seen?
Uncle Joey. Joey Gladstone is the dad in the 13th year.
Ooh, the 13th year was 3 years, 2 years before this.
Okay. That sounds about right.
I have not seen that.
It's about a young boy that transforms into a merman on his 13th birthday.
Kate.
So.
Okay, cool.
Sounds great. DCOMs, man. They wild out there.
It's about that kid that eats magic bacon and turns into a dog when he's 15. Like, I would believe anything for a DCOM.
Yeah, that's...
Who knows?
Honestly, fair. And there's a lot going on, especially early in this movie. Mm-hmm. And I want to point a couple things out. One of which is my favorite thing maybe about some of... Especially the earlier DCOMs like this, is that characters don't really get a wardrobe. They just get, like, today he's wearing red.
Yeah.
Today, his friend is wearing royal blue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's all. It's just a color palette.
Yeah, it really
and
is.
And not in an artsy way. Not in like this character typically wears grays, but towards the end of the movie.
But he's the most envious, like, so the green makes a little more sense for him.
Right.
That's it's the just thing, like, everything in this is like a caricature. Like, it's like they wrote the movie and they're like, let's exaggerate this. Let's turn it into a caricature. He and his dad don't just get kicked out. They get literally thrown through the air.
By
out.
An elderly man.
Exactly. And it's like, how much of that is a weird stylistic thing? And how much of that is like, this is a movie for children, so we're exaggerating everything so kids can pick it up.
Yes, that is it's the giggle factor, really, I think is what it is.
And even with the wardrobe stuff, right? It's like, okay, we want to make sure that, like, how can we simplify and paint with a broad brush?
Right.
I mean, to save time and money in the movie making process, but also to simplify it so kids can understand it.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And you even get things like one of my favorite, Callie goes, this has never happened in real life at this scene when he has won the first game by, first of all, slapping a basketball into.
Yeah.
Whatever that was. I don't know.
Which is great. But he goes to school and everybody's like, Kyle. Oh, Kyle, dude, sick. Like, it's just like a sea of high fives and what's up, man? Like, it's just, nobody does that. I don't know. It's so Disney. Yeah, it's so 2000s.
Let's not get there yet. Let's wait for the end at the end.
I'm going to give, can I just give a pump momentarily to the group of people standing in a circle dancing?
Oh.
With the radio?
There's just amazing things happening here.
I loved that very much.
I have almost, starting to talk about characters, almost my super pump was Riley O'Reilly. Henry okay, Gibson, God. The grandfather of because... Yeah. He was just, it was a descent into madness almost.
Oh, like, what is he doing?
His,
in this?
Like, There were times that, like, even my captions were shrugging. They were like, I don't know. Because he would just be the most Irish that it was like, oh, like when you put too much salt on something, it's like, oh, all I taste is salt. But there were so many times that he would just exclaim, and I'm just like, huh? I heard potato.
Dude, and the dad at one point's like, oh, really? And he's like, oh, really?
Yeah, it's just so over the top. It felt offensive.
Was
it
there?
Did.
Were there?
I was offended. Oh my God.
That's
Irish.
Right. I'm too thin on the potato. I'm just like,
I
what
was
are
offended
you?
On behalf of Irish people.
Goodness.
I love that it's a throwaway that he invented French fries.
No, chips. Potato chips.
Which is pretty funny. Potato chips. Yeah. Was there a single accent that you guys felt was respectful?
Respectful? No.
Or hold up. I think I really enjoyed Kate. I enjoyed Mom, Kate O'Reilly Johnson / Smith. I did.
Yeah.
Because it did honestly feel like not as much of, maybe it's because I'm comparing it to Riley O'Reilly, but it didn't feel as much of just over the top.
It didn't feel over the top, but to me, she's just this collection of Irish stereotypes dressed in a spirit Halloween hobbit
costume. Yeah.
No. Yes, but I was going to save this for the back half of the episode, but Kyle's mom is my super pump by a long
shot. She's so good.
Really?
Yes.
Yes, dude.
She's actually Irish.
She cracks me up.
Her last name is Garrity, which is Garaghty.
Her at the fire trying to stoke the flames to put smoke in the breakfast, and she keeps coughing, which, by the way, that confirms that their house does not have smoke detectors, which is not safe.
Yeah.
But she, honestly, I laughed out loud at her like multiple times.
Yeah.
She was great. When she's buckled into the giant seatbelts.
Dude,
when she takes the
her?
Car keys and tries to jump and touch the door.
Amazing. She was a lot of fun. She was great.
I loved it.
You know who wasn't great though? I never have wanted to have Disney keep with the theme of having a one parent household. But then I met Bob Johnson / Robert Smith. It's okay. Maybe he got lost, or maybe he didn't exist. I missed the single parent home of Disney movies.
Sorry. Are you rooting for a leprechaun virgin birth? Kyle is the leprechaun messiah?
For sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Makes a better movie on many accounts.
And then we can continue to talk about virginity in our movies like we did with Hocus Pocus.
Yes. I would love that. Yeah.
Bob Johnson, Paul Kiernan had one face and it was I don't know.
It's,
if I may,
I'd like to posit something about this actor.
Okay.
He's just a less problematic Louis C.K. lookalike.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When it started, I was did Louis C.K. do a decomp?
It's that thing of like, yeah, it's Trader Joe's own version of Louis C.K., but you eat it and you're like, actually, it's way better than the real Louis C.K.
Yeah.
It's like how Trader Joe's Oreos are better than Oreos.
Yeah, they're Pop-Tarts. It's like Trader Joe's Pop-Tarts. Oops, they're delicious.
Yep.
Actually, no joke, Callie's leaving for Trader Joe's in like 20 minutes and I'm going to tell her to get some Pop-Tarts.
Silver spoon. Get some of those honey mustard pretzel things.
I'm gonna write all this down real quick.
Those guys rule.
There's also really good Thai chili almonds.
Ooh. Mm.
Those are delish.
This is, unfortunately, against all evidence, not a Trader Joe's podcast.
That's too bad.
I would love to do a Trader Joe's podcast.
I honestly would love to do a Trader Joe's podcast as well. But let's talk about Luck of the Irish.
Do you think they shop at Trader Joe's?
How about it's like there was a little bit of an attention deficit disorder here when we started to do the size differential specifically for Kyle, because they had some like smarter movie tricks, I guess, like let's put a bucket hat on him so that we can just put shorter kids in his role, you know, when we see him from behind or anything like that.
Yeah.
But then they didn't stick with that. And then it just went all over the place.
And him running and having to pull his pants up over and over again genuinely made me laugh out loud.
Oh, for sure. And wait, we need to. I wish we could have like a 10-minute segment of let's go through here and say
we can do literally anything. How are,
we've also redefined luck, I think, in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like, okay, I get it. The you have more than once been able to find like money on the ground, right?
Yeah.
But like being good at a sport, I don't know if that's luck necessarily.
Yeah, luck, how about luck guessing has gone every from, right answer on a test?
For real. It's gone from the tendency to succeed. It's been transformed into the inability to fail.
It's well, like Domino his, or something. It's like, is that the name of the character from?
Yeah.
Like, that's a fun creative yeah. way to be like, wow, you didn't die. Like, but
it's like
this
that,
guy.
That Harry Potter potion.
Yes.
He got his athleticism stolen like the Monstars stole from.
Big time. I thought the same thing.
Yep. Charles Barkley is just sitting sad on the side of the court
that's
along
terrible.
With Kyle.
That's terrible.
I think that's where Charles Barkley is just all the time.
side of the court next to Kyle Johnson.
Yeah.
And we haven't even begun to talk about Timothy Omundson.
Mm.
And did you guys ever watch Psych?
Yeah, it's Lassie.
Detective Lassiter from Psych. That's how I know him. Majority. So seeing him in this is funny, but this is how I knew him first.
I was about to say, when I watched Psych, I was like, oh my gosh, it's the guy from Luck of the Irish.
Seamus McTiernan.
Oh man.
Who like, yeah, we have thrown out the rules on what luck is. We've thrown out the rules on what a leprechaun is, because you're either just going to turn super tiny or you're going to become a monster. You're
yeah,
gonna turn into
it's like a werewolf kind of a thing.
A monster. That yeah, actually scared me when he's on the court and he's like, no. And I was like, wait, why? When did you change faces? Why did this happen?
And why only to you? Imagine if Kyle's mom was like, there's something I need to tell you.
Yeah, right?
Also,
we can't talk about him too much because I'm saving something for the back half of the episode.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's great. But this adds to my theory that in the late 90s, early 2000s, a movie wasn't nothing if it didn't have sports.
Yeah, no way.
It was nothing if it didn't have sports.
Or a concert.
Or a concert.
Which is just, if you think about it, like sports for your mouth.
Mm. See, I've always thought sports for your mouth was Powerade.
What's happening?
I love that juicy flavor. And the other juicy flavor that I do love in my ear mouth is a shout announcements. The top of the morning to you, and welcome to Shout Announcements. It's the part of the show where we give shout outs and make announcements. That was so Lucky Charms.
No, keep going. Keep going.
I can't. I really can't. I can only do short bursts of Irish.
It's like an Irish sprint, which sounds like a drink, like a grown-up drink that grown-ups would drink.
Yeah, I have to charge up my Irish accent like a falcon punch. And if I get interrupted
falcon
in the middle,
punch!
Punch!
Show your moves!
Why don't you give some time and show me your moves?
A falcon kick!
Mine turns into Barbossa.
Barbossa.
A little bit. It does, yep.
Well, you better start believing in Lucky Charms, Mrs. Turner. You're in one.
Y'all remember when we did the Pyra series? That was great. Hey, speaking of great things, we got some stuff. Listen, if you are a dedicated Chunky fan,
yep,
and you are not a patron, now is the time to get on board. Let me tell you why. We 100. Have bonus stuff already backlogged, but for this series, we have probably the best bonus episode we'll ever do, because all those people that let us down by not voting for Brink, I'm going to have my dessert, or they're going to get their desserts, and I'm going to have my cake and eat it too, because we're doing Brink for our Patreon episode for this series. And
I love that you said this is maybe the best bonus episode we're going to do when we do have a review up about the reigning best picture of all time, Parasite.
No, still Brink. Listen, we
same
also
same director,
have,
though.
I am not.
That's why Brink is all subtitled.
We are not currently at liberty to discuss what's coming very soon for patrons, but there's something cool that's going to let patrons of a certain caliber get a little more connected to us, actually. So make sure you keep your peepers peeled for that one. It's going to be a good time.
It always sounds like it hurts.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound comfortable.
Hey, guys, I wish you would follow us on Instagram and on the Twitter. One of the good things about following us on Instagram is that's probably the most up-to-date you can be with the Melissa Joan Hart saga. She I think, is a duchess of Instagram. She's somewhere up pretty high royally in the monarchy. But she Instas all the time, and very often now, within these next few weeks, we'll be Instagramming about Feliz Navidad, and you very likely know how we feel about that. So please give us a follow there. That also, you're going to have a lot of our announcements, all of our announcements about polls opening for these voting series. Those are going to be through Instagram, through our stories. Doge does a really good job just with the art in general.
The best job.
I, as a co-host, get incredibly excited about what he's going to do, what kind of theme he's going to take to really help us get into the spirit of whatever series that we're doing. And it's always fun to see that. I loved Chunktober. I'm excited to see what happens with DCOM.
Me too, because I don't know yet.
DCOM feels like one that you could kind of creatively take off. Like,
it's a little bit
I'm not
going to
try
Jimmy.
As hard, and it's going to look like what Disney did back in the early 2000s. But yeah, please follow us there. And then Twitter is very much an in the news kind of situation. You would get things about, hey, Mandalorian's about to come out, or you know, someone's just been cast for Moon Knight and different things like that. And so follow us on those social medias. And we don't have a Facebook. We might, but
we do, but don't go there.
There will be
don't look at it.
We'll burn
it. It's just a pit of despair, Facebook is.
things that are not a pit of despair is what it's my turn to talk about. And I do remember it. And it is that we want you to rate and review our podcast on the iTunes store, on the Google Play store, wherever you listen to it. A rating and a review would go a long way to helping our show reach new ears. And now, listen, we have depended on your altruism in the past. And we do know our listener base to be quite selfless and have our best interests in mind. But just in case, the joy of knowing that you helped your favorite pod boys out isn't enough of a motivator. For the month of November, if you leave us a review, a new review on the iTunes store or wherever you get your podcast,
Dated after this episode releases,
you send us a screenshot of that. We're going to share that screenshot in our stories. And then we're also going to enter you into a merch giveaway to be one of the first people to get some of our new Christmas merch that's launching in December that we're all super excited about. This is a great opportunity to help us out and to help your body out by getting something of ours that you can put on it.
Or in it. That's not true. Don't put our merch into you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And now we're back.
That was a Scottish. Oops.
That was McGonagall.
That was McGonagall. Defend your school.
I was 100% McGonagall.
I've always wanted to use that spell.
Defend your potato coins. Chips.
Guys, my super pump is...
Oh, snap.
What's his name?
Timothy Omenson.
Seamus McTiernan.
Seamus McTiernan.
I believe
Seamus McTiernan.
That's actually Seamus, I don't know that. That's
my super pump is Seamus McTiernan.
Seamus McTiernan.
Just chews up all the scenery. Just chomps it right up. This is the most over the top performance that I have seen in a movie in a really long time. And it sucks. It's so bad. but it transcends being bad into being amazing. And through him, we get the introduction of the like Irish dance into this movie, which is in a bizarre movie, one of the more bizarre elements that this is just something that is intrinsically known by every leprechaun that they can't, it's compulsive. Like Kyle doesn't even try to start dancing and he does.
Dude, honestly, the scene where he's dancing, he's like, I don't know. That's pretty funny.
He's bad at it too.
Oh, for
he's
sure.
Quite bad. Quite bad.
For sure.
I had a good friend growing up who in kindergarten, we all had to do a talent show.
Yes, yes,
and,
yes. Wait. What did you do?
Drawing. I drew pictures and pointed to them and I showed, I did like little animations where I would do like kind of those flip book animations.
Oh my goodness.
But it wasn't, I didn't draw like on the stage. Like I'd already drawn this stuff
so and
I
would do, I'd be like drawings you did.
Yeah. This is a good one I drew of Cusco.
Oh,
yes.
Amazing.
This is a good one. This is an animation I made of Bob the Tomato. You know, it's good stuff like that. Great stuff like that. But my friend, I think it was kindergarten, maybe first grade. I don't remember. My friend did Riverdance.
World sweeping Riverdance.
Wonderful.
Yes.
It is.
Oh, 100%.
Right? But that's the thing. I think we're trying to capitalize a little bit on the Riverdance popularity still. And I did Google Riverdance to find out when it came out. February 9th, 1995 was the first performance. But one of the suggested searches was, why do Irish dancers have no arms? And
what?
I think they do have arms. They just don't use them.
Interesting.
They just don't move them. But I love that enough people have Googled, why do Irish dancers have no arms? That Google was like, yeah, that's probably what he's looking for.
Amazing. Hey, one of the beautiful things about this DCOM series is that these movies are so short, we have a lot of time to play with. And I think it's important.
Our episode's like as long as the movie almost.
Yeah. I think it's important for our listeners to know this about me. And that is that in sixth grade, I participated in Georgia in a local like variety show called Peach Jam, where me and a friend of mine named Mason put on oversized dress shirts and sunglasses and sock feet. And we slid out and sang old time rock and roll, but we lip synced it and air guitared it the whole song, top to bottom.
Yeah. That's good.
Like weeks of practice and rehearsal, all that kind of stuff. And your talent show story just reminded me of that. And I don't know that there's actually video of it anywhere, but I will try and find it if there is.
I'll do you one better. You have to know this about me. In sixth grade, my middle school hosted a lip sync competition. And I entered the large ensemble and medium ensemble categories.
Yes,
the large ensemble, three of my friends and I did the Alvin and the Chipmunks Christmas song. Mm-hmm. Guess which chipmunk I played?
Hold on.
Alvin.
It's Theodore.
Simon.
Simon. Oh, wow. We danced
you
right
around
it. You
guys gave the only two wrong answers.
It makes sense now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah,
you
no,
are
of
Simon.
All of us, I am Simon the chipmunk. Of all of us, I'm the Simonist. And then for the duet category, I did
I'd be Alvin because people just yell my name
popular.
A lot.
I did Popular from Wicked in drag.
That's amazing. Wow. Progressive for Tyler, Texas.
Only person in the history of my school to be a double winner at the lip sync, but I only got one $10 iTunes gift card. Which,
as a double winner?
I'm not still mad about. Don't worry.
That's phenomenal.
I'd be furious.
I did a couple lip sync competitions with one of my best friends in college, the college that we went to, because there used to be a show called, what was it called? It was like a lip sync battle or something, but it was like overproduced lip syncing.
Yeah.
And we did a Barbara Streisand, Celine Dion duet. That was wonderful.
It's very
did
good.
You weep during that too? Did you cry during the Celine part?
Yep. My super pump is the moment we start bargaining souls and playing sports.
Dude, what a wild turn for the end of this movie.
No, it's so good.
It's like I got on the teacups at Disney for this ride. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna get my spins in, right? And then we're good. But then the entire platform starts moving up and then rocket ship takes off into the sky. And now I'm flying over Kissimmee in Orlando And what a wild ride the end of this movie is. And this was the moment that I said, you've done it. I was like, it is ridiculous enough that I am fully enjoying this process. Like,
yes.
I was curious what you thought of that. Because I was watching it last night. I was like, I bet Carter hasn't seen this. I'm curious how this is.
Who's keeping score? So good. Like, who decides who wins? I guess that doesn't matter.
They're playing all these games to one.
And it's two against scores five. One. Two young men against five grown men in everything.
Well, they're spry. The young men are spry.
They're spry. It is phenomenal. And then it's like, he lost. Kyle lost. He legitimately lost. And then, but you know what? You know what leprechauns can't say no to? A challenging challenge on top of another challenge.
A double or nothing.
And he's like, okay, let's go back to my high school. Everybody is completely fine with this. There is no hint that this didn't happen. There's no hint that this is a hallucination, that these are just holographic versions of all his friends and family. No, they're there.
Right.
And they're cool.
It actually happened.
It actually happened.
State finals.
The momentous effect, that the ripple effect of this happening in this small town, and I think Utah, it didn't really say where they are. What this does in the to the rest of the world.
A lot of these in Utah.
People got to be talking about this, right? Like,
right? Yeah.
What does that do to their lives?
I love that the coach goes, "Where have you two been?" And they're like, "We're here now." And he's like, "That's a great point."
But it's isn't it the championship?
Yeah,
it is. It's the state championship.
But it's now not against the people who deserved to be in the state championship. All those poor middle school boys who actually worked really hard to get there were replaced by grown Irishmen.
Those 15-year-old middle school boys.
And then,
but that's what I'm saying. They come up in the fourth quarter of the state championship game, and the coach is like, "Where were you?" And they're like, "Don't ask questions."
Ireland.
And he's like, "Oh, okay."
There was a moment that I realized we weren't completely out of Chunktober yet. And Seamus, who has fallen on the ground or something, like lifts his head up and screams like, "No, you won't!" Or I don't remember what it was because I was screaming over it. Because I didn't actually hear it. This is terrifying. Like Jennifer Aniston's like Leprechaun movie. Like it was so scary. And why is he the gross? Is he a goblin? He's not a leprechaun.
Yeah, he transformed into like this weird prosthetic creature.
What would have been a good twist to find out that he was not in fact a leprechaun. And that's why he wanted the coins was to become a leprechaun.
I mean, goblins like gold. I literally thought it was going to be
creature. Wasn't he like some kind of dark leprechaun, though? They kept calling him a something.
It was like his last name, though, right? What sucks is all that info was coming from Riley O'Reilly, and I don't understand anything he says.
And you can't understand him.
Exactly. Yeah, we're not going to be able to work with him,
Kyle.
That's
going to be a real problem there. He's going to be a leprechaun.
Yeah, it's just like, what did you just say?
Did you guys see the thing that actor played a leprechaun in Bewitched like 30
Isn't
years
that
prior?
Amazing? No, but that's great. It said very that's famously fantastic. Played. It's like, that's not famous.
Yes. That's not Nobody's, true.
Because when
real.
I think of Bewitched, I do think of the one with
Nobody's
the leprechaun.
Nobody's still talking about that.
What if they are?
Maybe they
all
are.
All the Bewitched fan pages.
Could be.
All the forums.
The Bewitched forums are blowing up right now.
No, I think there is something. There's a lot of Disney Channel original movies that, to me, I can tell the pitch was like, okay, so here's the deal. It's a middle school kid, and they're like, love it already. And he's like, slow down. I'm not done yet.
Hang on. He loves basketball.
He loves basketball. And they're like, absolutely. And they're already reaching for the pen. And he's like, and he's part leprechaun. Then they signed it. And they were like, on the way out the door, they're like, by the way, how does that movie end? And he's like, well, I don't know yet. And they're like, that's fine.
We'll figure it out when we get there.
Just go
ahead.
They
still don't know. And somehow, amidst all of this complete bizarre wildness, we're supposed to be learning about heritage?
Well, that's the thing. Is like he's
what?
Seamus is way more magical than the other leprechauns because when they lose the game, he vanishes everybody out of existence to have his confrontation where he shrinks with all the best visual effects that a 2001 TV movie can muster.
His baby hand and baby head on his normal person body is the worst thing.
It's like some out of Total Recall. Rough. Like
that's body horror.
That is. Absolutely. That's like The Fly.
So weird. But I loved it. Like, this was it. This was the point that I was like, yes, this is.
I said The Fly. Now imagine that role played by our early 2000s Jeff Goldblum.
Well, then it's too good.
It's better, right?
Yeah.
It's too good for DCOM.
Luck finds a way.
I want to keep a ska count throughout this series.
Oh,
there's two distinct moments. I'll of tell ska you what, in this
the
movie.
Ska pot of gold would have been Brink. Yep, every song.
It would have been. There's only two counts of ska in this movie, and it did need more. That was not enough ska for me.
There's only two.
Yeah. So our ska counter is at two currently.
Two currently.
I know for a fact that Smart House leans heavy on the boy band vibes.
Okay. So if does we Xenon. Don't get to 10, I don't.
And so does Xenon.
If we don't get to 10, I don't think this series has been a Yikes. Success.
We'd get to 10 and Brink alone. Hey, I have a playlist saved on my Spotify that is just the collected songs of the Brink soundtrack, including the original song written for the movie Brink called Come On Brink.
Uh-huh.
It's four songs long, and I listen to it too many much.
That tracks.
Yeah.
That actually tracks with everything I know about you.
Yeah. Yeah, I really do.
What else is in this movie? Is there anything we haven't talked about?
Probably. Yeah. The potato factory is crazy, and we're not supposed That's to follow true. Any rules. I'm not gonna say that there's rules that we even have a knowledge of to follow. But like, people could have died. Like the weird hallway scene on the gator. Like, that's clearly
same shot twice.
It's clearly a one way. And you're just being chased by, it's just a lot of like DCOMs, it feels like, are just showing how adults can't catch kids.
Yeah. Grown-ups are slower
They're
than
so
children.
So much slower.
Obviously.
Look, here is the honest, the strange thing that I love about this. And I think we're going to bump into this quite a few times throughout this series. DCOMs, more than a lot of maybe their contemporaries, are just, there is nothing timeless about them, and they are unbelievable time capsules for the era in which they were made.
These things are hermetically sealed time capsules.
For real. I mean, it is nuts how we get the big Mac computers in the computer lab of the library.
I love that we build tension by watching an internet search try and load. The fact that that's a distinct shot of we see this loading bar ticking.
It's like, come
back.
On,
that's
come
not
on.
Something you're ever going to see in a movie again.
And payphones in a middle school. You got things like, for instance, the just sort of generic. I feel like no movies now have just like generic fares. Like, it's just like, there's just a fair.
There's a fair.
It's just a fair.
That's funny.
I don't know. It just feels so like you watch it and you're just there. I don't know, man. I feel like I'm on a couch with goldfish.
Why was everybody who worked at the potato factory Irish?
Okay, I have a theory about this.
The tour guide was awful with her accent.
I mean, all the accents are rough, but hers was the worst of the worst.
It's pretty bad. My theory is that Pappy brought with him.
Is that Clan O'Reilly?
I don't know if it's Clan O'Reilly necessarily, but my guess is that Pappy came over and set himself up as a bastion of refuge for leprechauns.
He's the leprechaun Statue of Liberty?
Yeah, right. Bring me your poor, your tired, your green garbed masses, I believe is what.
Mars hates.
Bring me your poor, your tired, your green garbed masses.
They're after me chips. Did you guys crave Lay's potato chips original real bad?
Big time.
Boy, you know I stay craving.
Big time.
So I think it's time to rate this movie.
Okay.
And the only way to do it is, of course,
magic.
Whipped up right here in the Two Chunks Test Kitchen. I'm still going to call it that. I don't know why. I like it. It's the scientific cinema scale. It's perfect. And it is as follows. The best thing we could ever say about a movie is own it. Don't lend it.
Buy that poster.
The next best thing? That's buy it. Followed by rent it. And then stream it. After that is forget it. And last, but certainly least, the worst thing we could ever say about a movie.
As God hath forsaken us.
I'll go first.
Do it.
And this one's a stream it. For me, this is, it's not even close. This is the worst of the four that we are reviewing. This is kind of, I mean, it's funny, it's fun, and it's a little goofy, but this is by and large, like just sort of a nothing movie to me. Like I don't feel very strongly any way about it. And yeah. It's a disgrace that it's here and not Brink. So it's a stream it from me.
I'll stream as well. And I think it's because the only way I would ever watch this movie again is if I found out someone hadn't seen it.
Right.
I would love to be to share a first time, like see somebody's first time watching it and have dialogue around that. But yeah, it's a stream for me.
Guys, I think I'm going to give this a forget it.
Oh, man.
It reminds me. So there was this place my wife used to eat all the time in high school called Taco Villa. And it's like this fast food taco place in Amarillo where she grew up. And it's super cheap. And come to find out when we eat it as adults, that's because it's super bad. She liked it as a kid. She liked it growing up, but it really just didn't successfully make that transition into the adult world in which we find ourselves now. And I feel that the luck of the Irish is the Taco Villa of DCOMs. There are some that are going to age well and some that are going to be like, oh, that was actually pretty bad.
Did you leave the room to ask your wife what the name of the taco restaurant was?
I don't feel like I have to tell you that.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Awful. Awful. Well, hey, this one's behind us. We're officially 1 week deep in our DCOM series. And I got to say, from my perspective, things are looking way up next week. In fact, they're looking so far up that they are in outer space. Because next week, we will be reviewing the seminal classic, Xenon Girl of the 21st Century. Sorry, there's a colon there. It's not Xenon Girl. It's Xenon Girl of the 21st Century. And it's a banger. Zoom, zoom, zoom. Do make my heart go a boom, boom. Anything else that we want to throw in at the end here, guys?
End it.
Listen to Trolls and Table Talk.
Yeah, listen to Trolls and Table Talk. Carter's got a new podcast going.
D&D podcast. It's a lot of fun.
We're not threatened by it. So I don't want you saying that we are.
And don't think for a second that we are. And if you think that we are, stop it. Stop thinking that. Also, again, I feel the need. I hate to date our episodes so bad so frequently, but this is coming out the morning of Election Day. You still have time if you're listening to this on your way to or from work. Please go vote.
Please go vote. Please vote with empathy in mind for folks who might not look like you or share your life.
To end today's episode, I'd like for each of us to say our name. And based on our own cultural heritage, what our movie would be about. For Two Chunks and a Hunk, I'm Jordan, the Wonders One, and my movie would be called Mayonnaise. And it would just be about
no culture.
What it's like to just sort of be generic, no culture, wish I had anything to grasp onto that was fun or good, sort of
Cleveland. Heritage.
I mean, I'm just a mutt, man. There's some English. There's
everybody
some French,
comes
there's
from
some
somewhere,
German,
Jordan.
There's, you know, there's a little of this, a little of that. There's some stuff in there, but man, it's just my culture is just sort of Dallas.
I'm Doge, and my movie would be called Gators, eh? Because on my mother's side, deeply Canadian, and on my father's side, deeply swampy.
A swampy.
Swampy. I'm Carter, and mine would be called Mars.
Needs no. Moms.
John Carter of Mars? John Carter
that
of
is
Mars
me.
Needs moms.
John Carter of Mars needs moms. I'm French-Irish. So maybe this was my movie.
This is called Luck of the Irish.
And it just happened. I need to do a quick rewatch.
Rewatch.
Rewatch?
Rewatch.
Rewatch.
Hey, rewatch that movie, boy.
I gotta go rewatch. Rewatch.
Ro-ro.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.